Good afternoon. This is Joel Mann. And today in the studio with me, I have some guests. I have Bill McWeeny, Eric Davis, and Charlotte Griffith. And they're all from the Cavaliers at the Adams School in Castine. Who would like to tell me what the Cavaliers are?
The Cavaliers are a school group of 7th and 8th grade students from the Adams School. And we are trying to help save the North Atlantic right whale from extinction. There are a little more than 400 left, and that's not a very stable population. So they're not doing very great, so we're trying to help with that.
Yes, and how long have you been doing this?
About 15 years.
15 years. Wow, that's quite a history. Eric, what can you tell us about the Cavaliers?
Well, at the moment, we are raising money to go to Barcelona in December for the Second World Marine Mammal Science Conference. And that's happening this December, so we need to try to raise enough money to get there on time.
And how's that been going?
We're at about 60% of our needed funds.
How many students will be going to Barcelona?
12 students, 2 teachers, and 1 parent chaperone.
You pretty excited about that?
Yep.
Ever been to Spain before?
No.
No. Okay. And the person behind all this is the science teacher at Adams School, Bill McWeeny. Welcome, Bill.
Thank you.
What can you tell us about these kids and this project?
Well, one thing I can tell you about the kids is they're passionate about the mission. And the mission is to educate people about the plight of the right whales.
And right what is now. The plight of right whales right
well,
now?
Well, unfortunately, since 2010, the population is going backwards. There were about 500 in 2010. We're at about 400 now. Most of the deaths are due to human causes, you know, accidental deaths with ships and accidental deaths with fishing gear, getting caught in fishing gear. Nonetheless, it's happening. Right whales can live 70 to 100 years. And very few right whales nowadays are dying of old age.
Where does the word Cavaliers come from?
Charlotte, you want that one?
Sure. So we are named after a right whale called Calvin. She was born in 1992, and her mother, Delilah, was hit by a ship and killed in the Bay of Fundy, which is one of the whale's feeding grounds. And Calvin was only about 8 months old, I think. And that's way before the end of the normal nursing process. So she was all by herself, and she was most likely not going to survive. But about a year later, she was spotted again, looking very healthy. So she learned how to feed by herself and where the food is and all that stuff. And since then, she's had 3 calves. And her first calf was named Hobbs, because Calvin Hobbs. And then she's had 2 other calves.
What got you interested in this, Eric?
Well, I have 2 older brothers, and they had both participated in the Cavaliers before
did. Yeah.
And they seemed to like really get into it and really enjoy educating people about the right whales. So now I'm part of the Cavaliers, and I'm enjoying it as much, if not more, than they did.
Did they get to go overseas and attend a conference or anything?
They did not get to go overseas, but they went to Canada for conferences there.
Yeah. It must be awful and inspiring to you to have such young people interested in something like this.
Absolutely. It is. And Eric was saying that the kids go to conferences. So we have 3 major field trips a year. The first one starting in September, we actually go to the New England Aquarium Right Whale Research Station up in Lubeck. And we hang around with the scientists, and they give informal talks to the students. We also go out on a whale watch from Campobello Island. It's a very small boat, and we get very close to the whales, and it's exciting for the kids to do that. Then the second field trip is to the Right Whale Consortium, which is usually in New Bedford, Massachusetts. This year it's going to be in Portland. And that's where about 300 scientists and NGO members and governmental officials get together, and they discuss the year in right whales and what's going on and the current science. They give talks. The kids attend the talks. They pick talks that they want to go to. So they get a chance to actually communicate with scientists after the talks. There's free time, and they can go right up to the scientists and talk to them. And it works out really well.
What are some of the other things that the kids do? Do they lobby members of the Congress to get better bills?
We just sent a whole bunch of letters out last week to the Maine delegation asking them to support the Save Right Whale Act, which is before Congress right now, which will give quite a bit of money to right whale research and also fishermen and implementation of new gear for helping the right whales. We can talk about that gear in a little bit. I think Charlotte might know something about it. The third major trip is to the New England Aquarium. For years, the Calvineers have been co-hosting with the New England Aquarium a right whale festival. And so we go down to Boston and spend the night at aquarium and then help with the festival the next day in the big tent out back.
Today I'm talking with Bill McWeeny, the science teacher at Adams School, and Eric Davis, who is in the 7th grade, and Charlotte Griffith, who is in the 8th grade, and they are trying to raise money to go to Barcelona. And there's going to be a night of eating, drinking, and loving whales. That's going to be on Tuesday, August 6th. From 6 to 9 p.m. at Castine's newest waterfront restaurant, 15 C Street Bar and Grill. And let's talk about how we get tickets to this event.
Sure. Tickets are available at the school. The school is open on most days during the summer. And also any Calvineer or parents, there's bookstore in Compass yep. Rose Bookstore. And also the information, the Castine information booth has it.
And we have a number, 326-8608, and that would be the Adams School.
Yes.
Great.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about some of the equipment and dangers that the right whale's facing, Charlotte.
So right now the main threat is entanglement in fishing gear. And that is when a whale accidentally bumps into a rope and they freak out because they don't know what it is. So they start rolling to get away from it, but just wraps it more around them. And then sometimes, in severe cases, it cuts into their skin like a wire to a cheese block.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really bad sometimes. And then there's also ship strikes, which is when a whale gets in the way of a shipping lane and they get hit by a ship, and a lot of the times they get killed. So now there are rules on how fast it can go in certain areas. So now there are whales going to areas that are unprotected. So usually they go to the Bay of Fundy, but that's warming up, so their food isn't there. So they're going up to the Gulf of St. Lawrence in Canada, and that's where no rules are implemented right now. So 8 have died that are recorded, and only 7 whales have been born this year. So the population is flip-flopped again.
So, Charlotte, what is this thing called the whale pump, and what is it doing?
So, the whale pump is what brings nutrients to phytoplankton in the ocean, which are the bottom of the food chain, and copepods, and then fish and lobster and all that. So, the whale pump is when the whale goes down to eat food, to get their food copepods, because they have to go down deep. So, they bring up nutrients straight up from the bottom of the ocean to the top, and then when they poop, the feces go out and spread nutrients to phytoplankton, and then copepods eat the phytoplankton, then fish and other small animals eat that, and then other, so it's kind of like the bottom of the food chain, and it helps with nutrients and minerals so that the animals stay healthy. So if the right whales go extinct, then that means that most nutrients won't get spread out throughout the ocean, because there are other types of whales, but this is like the main key factor for the ocean, the right whale pump.
So it's fertilizer, basically.
Yeah, basically yeah. Fertilizer.
Well, you certainly seem to have your finger on what's going on up there.
Yes, I do.
She knows very well there. There have been deaths the past couple of years up in the Gulf of St. Lawrence, and the Canadians have stepped up and they've put some measures in, like stopping fishing in certain areas and slowing ships down in certain areas. The problem is the whales don't know where those certain areas are. Yeah. So they're being entangled and hit by ships outside of those areas. We're coming more and more to the conclusion that these measures have to be broadened because of the whale searching for food now and be implemented in a lot of different areas. I don't know if Eric or Shala could talk about the 1,700-pound rope.
So 1,700-pound rope is a rope that has these little sleeves that you put and kind of infused with the rope every 40 feet, and that makes it so that the rope can break 1,700 pounds, which a study by Amy Knowlton showed the right whales can break that.
That's pretty smart. So some ideas like that in the future would probably help out quite a bit.
The background to that is in the 1990s, they found out that the strength of ropes, especially fishing ropes, increased dramatically with a new type of rope called polysteel. And so ropes nowadays will break 3,000 to 4,000 or more pounds, which is a rope that the whales cannot get out of. So since the 90s, the whales have been entangled more and severely entangled more. And that has a problem with the females, right,
yes, Charlotte? Yes, it does. When females get entangled, they get really stressed, and that means that they can't reproduce. So that's probably why there are not many whales getting born each year, because the females are too stressed and they can't reproduce or mate with other whales. So not a lot of baby whales are being made. So that means the population is still decreasing.
Bill, you started this in, 2004?
Yes.
And what inspired you to go in this direction?
Well, I've been volunteering as a scientist for the New England Aquarium since 1983. I took a few years off in the middle there, but back in 2004, I was back again working summers with the team. And I had a group of students, the first Calvineers, who actually were starting a club through the Humane Society to help shelters in the area for animals and stuff. And I asked them, I said, quite frankly to them, I said, how'd you like to work with a big animal that needs some help? And they all jumped on board. The other interesting thing about that is most of those kids at the time were the same age as Calvin. They were born the same year as Calvin, 92, 93.
This is Joel Mann speaking with the Adams School Calvineers, 7th and 8th grade students who study endangered North Atlantic right whales. And they're having a benefit to go to a conference over in Barcelona, Spain. And that benefit will be on August 6th from 6 to 9 p.m. in Castine at the 15 C Street Bar and Grill. And there's going to be plenty of food. The chef is going to be doing some Spanish tapas menu and beverages. And there's going to be music. A great concert with Sam Lardner and the Barcelona, and they have been serving up their version of delicious rumba fusion now for over 2 decades. And Bill, anything else?
No, it's just it's a pleasure to work with these kids, and I can't think of a time in my life when it was better than this.
So. Well, thank you. You're really leading them in a wonderful direction. So, Bill, there's been a movie that's been shot about this project. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, actually, the movie's not done yet. Once the filmmaker, Tom Willey, heard that the Calvineers were going to go to Barcelona for the Second World Conference, Marine Mammal Science, he decided to shoot a little bit longer and put the film together next year in 2020, which is pretty appropriate. 2020 is going to be the year of the right whale. It's being run by Blue Ocean Society, and the Calvineers will be instrumental in some of that. One of the things they're going to do at the Barcelona conference is help the Blue Ocean Society kick off the Year of the Right Whale 2020. So they'll be singing their songs and saying a few things.
And now, is the filmmaker going to Spain with you?
Yes.
Oh, great.
He is.
So he's going to get the whole deal.
He signed up for the trip with us, right?
Right, right. Mm-hmm. What is the most favorite thing you're looking forward to in Barcelona?
I'm looking forward to learning about other marine animals, like, because it's not just right whale scientists that are going. Other marine scientists are going in different fields, so, like, phytoplankton probably will be there, dolphins, turtles, stuff like that. So I'm excited to learn about that.
Do you see a career in marine biology in your future? How about you? What do you look forward to the most?
I look forward to just going to the conference and meeting just a lot of different people and to just know about a lot of things. And I could probably learn a lot from them.
Well, that sounds great. And when are you going to Barcelona?
December this year. Is it the 5th through 15th? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going on those dates, 10 days. So the conference is actually like 3 to 4 days, but the rest of the days we're going to be touring because we're going with a tour group. So we're going to be going around Barcelona looking at all the buildings and stuff like that.
The thing about these international conferences, I've had the Calvineers at 3 previous ones, Quebec, Tampa, and Halifax. And they do get to meet a lot of different people who have a lot of different kinds of studies. One of the things we always do at a conference is we have a table where we set up displays, and it's in the display area, and people walk around and talk to the Calviniers, and it's always a very popular booth because the scientists appreciate having them there.
Mm-hmm. What is the international response to these kids over there? You said that they're really interested in talking to them.
The first time they presented in Quebec at an international conference, there wasn't a dry eye in the...
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, the scientists love them. They love them. They're hope. They're the next generation.
Exactly. They're going to be taken over.
Absolutely. Right.
How's that make you feel, that you could be in charge one day?
I don't know if I'll be in charge. But, I don't know. I'm excited to, do a career like this when I'm older.
And how about you? What do you see in your future?
I'm definitely considering marine biology because of the Calviniers.
Yeah. So, Bill, tell me about the push and shove between the fishing industry and people trying to save these whales. How's that working out? Is there cooperation there? Are you hitting a wall? What's going on?
Yeah, a little of both. One of the interesting things about the fishermen is those fishermen who have been to the conferences, like the Calviniers have, kind of understand what we're up against as far as keeping the whales viable. And then I think, in general, the fishermen really don't know a lot about the whales. And that's one of the missions of the Calviniers, is to try to get the word out there about how difficult it is to save this species. You know, since I've been working with the New England Aquarium in the past 15 years, two species of whales, small whales, have gone extinct. And that's the Baijai whale in China. And we're expecting it to be announced at this conference that the vaquita down in Baja has gone extinct. Similar situations to what's happening to the right whales now. They had a population that was growing, and then all of a sudden it started to go down. And again, we're down pretty low now to 400. There is hope. We can bring these back if we can just stop the entanglements. And by the way, it isn't the entanglements that kill whales. As Charlotte pointed out earlier, the entanglements affect the health of a whale, especially females. And instead of reproducing every 3 years or maybe 4 years, they're up to 8 or 9 years now. So they have to be healthy. They have to have a certain amount of fat and everything in order to support a pregnancy. So the fishermen, I know that the main delegation is right behind the fishermen and saying, no, we're not going to go with these new rules. But I think a little education would go a long way. And as I mentioned before, some letters went out to the Congress. And I want Charlotte to talk a little bit about her letter, because she has an interesting take on things.
Well, I think what Mr. Mercury is talking about is that we're not trying to put the fisheries out of business. Like, I love lobster and fish. That's, like, my favorite food. I have on my birthday dinners. That's always what I choose. I go to lobster. So we're not trying to put them out of business. We're just trying to save a whale, like, an entire whale species. So hopefully the fishermen will see that and will cooperate with us.
Yeah, I think that's the whole point, is so that each side can see the other's side. And we're certainly trying to understand the economics of everything and how fishing works. But I don't think there's been enough talk. There's been enough integration in that area.
So more education as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. More talk, more education. I know the scientists at the aquarium are reaching out to fishing groups. And I think the way to do it is not these big meetings, scoping meetings and things like that, but small groups in small areas, a few scientists, a few fishermen, and maybe some government officials. I should say that the Calviniers are available any time that any politicians or staff members want to be educated. We'd be glad. We have a 40-minute PowerPoint that explains the whole situation, and be glad to do that.
Well, you're certainly doing important work, so you should be very proud of yourselves. It's just amazing what you guys are doing.
And on August 8th, the Calviniers will be presenting in Northeast Harbor at the library during their lecture series. So if you want to catch it, Northeast Harbor, August 8th.
Sounds good. Let's go over some more contact information. We have four tickets. We can go to calvineers@gmail.com. You can also call the Adams School for tickets, 326-8608. And don't forget, Sam Lardner and Barcelona will be playing there. And if you'd like to find out more about their music, you can go to Sam Lardner, that's SamLardner.com, to find out more about his incredible music. So it's going to be a great celebration of all these young people working hard to make the earth a better place. It's going to take place on August 6th in Castine at 15 C Street Bar and Grill from 6 to 9 p.m. And there's going to be great food, great drink, and love for whales. Guest today has been science teacher from Adams School, Bill McWeeny, Eric Davis, 7th grade Calvineer, and Charlotte Griffith, 8th grade Calvineer. Thank you to all of you for coming in today and for the very important work you're doing.
Thank you, Joel.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The musical guest for this benefit concert is Sam Lardner and Barcelona, and Sam is on the line. Sam Lardner and Barcelona have been serving up their version of delicious rumba fusion now for over two decades. Lardner is a master songwriter and storyteller with a voice that can deliver a romantic bolero or a rousing rumba with equal ease. Sam is on his way up from New York, and we have him on the phone. Thanks so much for joining us here at WERU to talk about this fabulous fundraiser for the Calvineers. Well, they're very excited about you coming up for this benefit. You're also going to be playing in Bucksport at Wednesday on Main.
Yeah, that's a really exciting return for us. Last year, we were there, and we had an incredible night, very full house. We were very touched by that and feel that we've got a strong connection there. So it's just super to be going back.
Can you tell us, Sam, about some of the people that you're playing music with? It seems like quite a list of some very talented people.
Yeah, we've got the anchor of the whole project is named Juan Flores. He's a percussionist that specializes on the cajon. And he's been the one to translate my music and try to make it work with the flamenco tradition, which is very complicated. And we really don't go too far into that, thanks to Juan. There's certain things we can do, and there's certain things we don't do. sitting by him always is our wonderful bass player, Juan Antonio Guerra, who plays the five-string bass and is just a completely, completely wonderful, powerful player. We also have, as I mentioned, Nayara Nunez, who is actually a four-star chef, but she also comes from a very strong dancing family. So she, at one point, takes us into a very physical manifestation of what we're doing. And then I have three very fine rhythmic clappers who also do the backing vocals and at times take us to their own zone in the flamenco tradition. So it's a very eclectic night. It's a very eclectic and powerful group of people to be sitting up there with.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a wonderful time in Maine. It's very lucky to have you come up here. You're doing the boleros and rumba. Are you still doing the singer-songwriter?
Yep. We always pay homage to our roots. And a couple times, I think everybody will understand exactly where I come from. New England is my home, and it will always be that way. But I'm on this wonderful journey. But yes, we always come home.
And being a storyteller, what are some of your favorite stories that you've heard over the years in your life that have meant something to you?
That's an interesting question, because there's a lot of stories out there.
There are. You are a story.
I'd say one of the just the funny anecdotal stories that happens. You know, these things pop up when you're traveling with six Spaniards.
Yeah.
And I'm doing a lot of translating for them. But, you know, we walked into a CVS drugstore last week in Rhode Island as we were traveling through the state. And the two guys stayed outside just sort of taking in the sun, and I went with the four women to just do some translating and make sure that they got their things taken care of. And they went to the four corners of the store and came back to the register, and I helped them with their purchasing, and they walked outside, and then the woman at the register said, "Who are you?" I said, just doing my job, the translator.
Yeah, just the translator.
But these are striking people. They're very striking people. And so, yeah, I understood where her question was coming from. Who are you?
In Rhode Island.
Yeah.
I'm speaking with Sam Lardner and his band Barcelona, who will be coming up to Maine for two performances in this area, in Bucksport and then in Castine. Sam, thank you so much for taking time to talk with us today, and we really look forward to seeing you. If people would like more information, you can go to Sam Lardner, that's SamLardner.com, to his webpage to find out more about the great music that's headed our way. Sam, thank you so much, and best of luck.
Thank you. Look forward to being up there.
I'm gonna build you a house in the sky, love. Where the only one there is you. And then I'll throw up a great big sign, love. Made of white clouds that say taboo. You know my life will be oh so sweet there. Sun above and the earth below. Just you and me in a choir of angels. Nobody down here will ever know. Just you and me in a choir of angels. Nobody down here will ever know. Only the ones that fly will know that.
That you can see the light that shines above.
Only the ones that fly will.
Sky,
I'm gonna build you a house in the sky, love.
So the world will leave you all alone.
Now this house has got no foundation. It's an invention I can call my own. It hangs on threads thrown down from heaven by the angels that I have known. And if anyone should ever ask you why I built you a house in the sky, just say that secret belongs to me, love. Nobody else in the world knows why. Just say that secret belongs to me, love. Nobody else in the world knows why. Only the ones that fly will know this.
That you can see the light that shines above.
Only the ones that fly will know this.
That you can see the light from the great beyond.
I'm gonna build you a house in the sky, love.
So the world will leave you all alone.
I'm gonna build you a house in the sky, love. If anyone should ever ask you how to get to your house in the sky, just say there ain't no road to heaven. Not everybody can learn to fly. You know my life will be oh so sweet there. Sun above and the earth below. Just you and me in a choir of angels.